we are going to continue. No one really. Yeah, okay, good. There's three. It's good. I know that I always put the God's Word up on PowerPoint, but it is good to see it in your own Bible, especially when you become familiar with the Bible. I know that when I read my Bible, especially when I have a familiar Bible and I've been reading through it, I'll actually not remember the passage of like the number and the verse, but I will remember where it is on the page, you know. So once you get familiar with your Bible, you're like, I know it's on the left-hand side right about here. So it's good to have your Bible with you and just to be familiar with it. So we're going to continue in Luke today, Luke 11. The title of my sermon is called Response Needed. We're going to look at response. And it's interesting to see the response of people to extraordinary circumstances in their lives. All right, and you can probably think of good circumstances and also negative circumstances in people's lives, but one example of an extraordinary circumstance that sometimes brought on a few, very few people, is what? Winning the lottery, right? Now, I don't play the lottery, so the chances of me winning the lottery are 0.0%. But it's interesting to follow. You know, this circumstance is very rare for people who win $314 million or whatever, you know. It's very rare. But it's interesting to see how people will respond to these extraordinary circumstances. Something that's been given to them. I mean, even though they bought a ticket, which cost them, what, $2? I don't know how much do lottery tickets cost these days. I have no idea. $5? I don't know. So they did pay something for it, but to all of a sudden one day be given something amazing, it's so interesting to see how do people respond. The Certified Financial Planner Board, it's called the CFP Board, estimates nearly one-third of all people who win the lottery go bankrupt, right? Isn't that weird? You know, you'd think if you win, like, what is it, one lump sum, some people say, okay, I'll just take out the taxes right now, I'll take one lump sum, it's not $314 million, I'll just take $100 million, and the other two-thirds go to taxes or whatever, you know? I'll just take it in one lump sum, but what does that check look like? Where do you go? Do you go into the bank and say, I'd like to deposit this, you know, for $100 million or something like that. But research shows that a significant number, one psychologist and a director, his name is Stephen Goldbart, co-director of Money, Meaning, and Choices Institute, says the research shows that a significant number of lottery winners lose their winnings within 5 years. How do you go 5 years? But I was researching this. A lot of people, what they do for the very first year is they just spend like $1 million towards like traveling and stuff. You know, they go crazy. And you have friends and relatives coming out of the woodwork saying, "Hey, I heard the news. Could I have a little bit of that $100 million?" But it goes fast, all right. Or how about this couple? Oops. How about this couple? This is Milton and Patricia Harper, who just 3 years ago excitedly accepted the keys to this gigundo, humongous castle of a house. And not only did they receive this home, but enough money to pay the taxes on the home for 25 years. Right? So they received $200,000 in addition to the home to pay the taxes. So they were set. The problem was for the Harpers was their response to receiving this amazing gift. Okay, they used the house as a collateral for a $450,000 loan. So in other words, they said, okay, we would like a loan from the bank for another $450,000. We'll put our house down just in case we default on this loan. You can take our house. Ow. So they opened it up for a construction business. They took out this loan. The construction business failed, and they lost their home that was done by Extreme Makeover Home Edition, given to them for free, essentially. And now the house is up for auction as of last August. Well, last week, Joe shared with us a story of Jesus casting out a demon-possessed man who is mute and then all of a sudden able to speak. Okay. Now, the passage never shared, if you remember, the passage actually never shared how the man responded, but it did show how the crowd responded. You remember? They said, wow, this is unbelievable. We know this guy. We know that he's never been able to talk. And you have casted him out. It says the crowd was amazed. But then it said some of the crowd questioned where his power came from. Was it from, we think it's from Satan. And again, Jesus went on to say, hey, it can't be Satan because a house divided will fall. So it's not coming from him. But for some of them, their response to this miracle was a hardened heart. They were amazed by it, but their hearts became harder after the miracle. This wasn't something that God was doing. It was somebody else that was doing this. It was Satan. Their response to Jesus was a poor one, okay? So the question for us today, that we're going to look at today, is what kind of response are you giving or will you give to Jesus and His Word revealed to you in your life? And it does not matter if you are a believer out there right now, if you already know that you are a Christian, you're walking with Him, or if you're an unbeliever, or if you're in the deciding stage where you're like, I go to church, I kind of know God, I'm not sure about Jesus yet and who He is. I like Him, but I'm not sure who He is yet. Let's start out by taking a look at the example that Jesus gave us after healing this mute, demon-possessed man. Okay? And then He engaged with those who doubted Him. He said to the crowd who was testing them. When an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert searching for rest. But when it finds none, it says, I will return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home is all swept and in order. And then the spirit finds seven other spirits, even more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. So it's like this. Jesus had just cast out this demon from this mute man. The man was able to speak. The crowd was amazed, and they recognized there was a power within Jesus. There was something happening here. But what happens is if a person like this man or this crowd experiences God, a great act of God, and responds with nothing and does not open up their heart to God, what happens is it's almost like you leave a vacant spot. Like you have seen God work around you in your lives, but yet, and the demon goes out, and yet you don't invite him in, and it kind of leaves like you even more vulnerable to something happening to you that's even worse, and that is the demon returning and even bringing more to come in. Now, as far as I know, there's no one in this room who's had a demon cast out of them and then were able to speak. Anyone? Cecilia? No? Okay. But through the years, all of you have experienced God in some way. Through the years, all of you, most of you, have seen God work in your lives, in and around you, through your families, through church, through what you've seen and heard here at service, at church, through Scripture that's been read to you. And indeed, every time we look at Scripture, God is saying, here I am. I'm revealing how I work to you. I'm revealing myself to you. It is God's revelation to us. But is there evidence right now, is there evidence that someone can point at from the outside that there's been a response to Him in your life? Can people, as they look at you, as they step out and say, hey, I knew you before Christ, and now I know you after Christ, and I could see that there is evidence of Him, of a response to Him in your life. Here's like the key to kind of the passage that we're looking at this morning. As He was speaking, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is your mother who gave birth to you and who nursed you." Jesus replied, "But even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and put it into practice." All right? This is the response that Jesus is looking for from us. It is not that we're interested in Him, that we like Him. You know, I like Jesus. He's a good guy. He's a good teacher. I like His teachings. And some people take that approach to Him. I think Jesus is an interesting, amazing teacher. Even people in church do that. They're like, hey, this guy is wise. He's a good guide for me. But He's looking for more than that from us. He's looking for a response from us. Even more blessed are those who hear the word of God and then put it into practice. Do it. Live it out. Walk it out. See, there's real danger and consequences if your response to God after He's revealed Himself to you is nothing. Is God is good, God is great, but I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to continue as I was. And on the other hand, there is huge blessing and benefits to you if you hear the word of God and respond to Him by putting them into practice. You know, for us, it's hard. Oftentimes, I kind of look at in past churches that I've been in, and you know, maybe you can think of someone in this case that I'm going to describe in this church, where they've gone off to college, right? You see someone who's come up through Oakland Christian Church, Oakland Chinese Church, OCCYG. They've been, you know, hearing God's word for years. You know, you may see them in the, you know, every once in a while I look at the yearbook that we have downstairs, and I look through some of the pictures of you guys when you guys were like, how old were you guys? You were like, I don't know, in the fifth grade. Yeah, you guys were so young. And I see some faces that I'm like, you know, I see them come back and I see them sitting in here visiting. You know, they've gone off to college, maybe they graduated and they come back and stuff. But I look at them and I see some, you know, and maybe you can think of somebody, you see some who've like, yeah, you can see them. They've taken it in. They've responded. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and they've walked it out in their lives. They've put it into practice. They've actually, you can see a continual response in their lives to His revelation to them. But I've also seen in churches, and I hear it all around when I talk with other youth pastors, English ministry pastors, you know, of those who, gosh, it seemed like genuine. It seemed like when they were here, you know, when I talk with other youth pastors and stuff, when they were in the youth group, gosh, they were there singing. They were there, you know, participating in the outings and stuff. They were there in the care groups and the small groups. They were all there all the time. But then you see them go off to UMich, to MSU, to wherever, to Madison. And then what happens? I don't know. I don't know what happens. Like, was it not genuine? Was there something that was never there in the beginning? Like, was it just, you know, it was because of their family was here, and because their friends were here that they were going to church, but there was never a response. It was like they'd seen God's word, just like the man who had the demon cast out of them, but then just kind of shrugged their shoulders and said, that was awesome, that was great, thanks, and then just kind of walked on. It reminds me a lot of the parable that Jesus talks about of the soils. You know, I look at some of these students that in past churches, maybe this church, And I think, you've heard the Word of God for the past 5, 6 years, you know, maybe way back in the days of Five Points, or way back in the days, you know, way back then, you've heard it so many times, the gospel preached out for you, the story of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He's done on the cross, His resurrection. So many times it's been cast out there to you, just like kind of the parable where Jesus is saying the Word of God is cast out. And where does it land? I wonder, like, He said, hey, there's some who it lands on a path, and Satan takes it away because there's just no understanding there. I don't know if their ears weren't open, if they heard it and just didn't understand it, didn't get it. Like, I don't really get the gospel yet. But Jesus says, for some, you know, you look at their lives later and it's just that they never had understanding of it in the first place. So Satan takes the seed and picks it up like a bird and takes it away. For others, it says that it follows up. Those who've like heard the word, you know, the gospel preached several times, it falls on your shallow soil. It's when they came here, their response was never to root down. They never took it up for themselves and said, this is God, you are mine, and I'm yours. It's not, you're my family's God. It's not, you're my church's God. It's you are God, and I will follow you all the rest of the days of my life. They never rooted. And so what happens is, they go off to college, they go off to school. Things get maybe tough. They get really busy, you know, with school, learning, meeting new people and stuff. It gets really exciting when you're off in school. And what happens is, it just is so shallow. There was never any roots, so it's just pulled up, and the person slowly drifts away. And you know, I mean, you thought, like, gosh, I thought that person was walking with the Lord. I thought the person knew God. There was just no root. Finally, and there was four actually, which we'll get to, but in this case, we'll just go over three. The gospel was shared, and it just that it landed. The Word of God landed in thorns. And so all the worries, maybe what happens, go off to school. In fact, I was just talking with someone who was leading a Bible study in the academic hall of UMich. You know, so like, I guess apparently there's some program where you can go into the academic, where everyone else there is like focused on academics. He says, what's challenging is, for my Bible study that I lead in this large dorm, is that that because everyone in the dorm is all academically minded, so focused on doing well, okay, that it sometimes overshadows, like, we'll have Bible study on Thursday nights, and he says, what happens with my Bible study is sometimes there'll be 10 there, and other times there'll be 3. And it depends, what it depends on is how the academic wave ebbs and flows, you know, if it's really busy, Bible study is just going to have to, like, push to the side, you know. What happens is the worries of the world, the things that squish out the Word of God. All right? So, he's looking for a response. But on the other hand, it's just as exciting when I hear, when I see, you know, hear reports of or see those who, you know, have, I've seen them come through, you know, I've only been here for 3 years now, and I've seen them come through OCCYG, and, you know, maybe I didn't know them, like, when they were middle school, freshmen, or whatever, but I see them come through, and, like, I hear reports of them, like, yeah, they're involved in a community at school, they're walking with the Lord, they're still interested in God, they're still responding to God. They're still seeking after Him. So what you need to do, what God is saying through this passage today, is that you need to respond. He's looking for a response from you. And you need to make that response. You need to decide in your minds, like, you need to decide in your minds as soon as possible what that response will be. Will it be rejection? Will it be kind of standing on the fence? Will it be like, yeah, I'm all the way. I'm sold out for Him. Doesn't matter what's going to happen to my life. doesn't matter what other things may come up that seem important, you're mine, God. There's no way I'm going to be moving away from you. But some may say, okay, you know what? Hey, if God made it so obvious, if God made it like, if there was a miracle that God, why doesn't God like show like a crazy miracle where there'd be no doubt that He's God? Where Jesus Christ doubt that He's God, then I would follow Him. If He would show Himself to me in a way like healing, like a miraculous healing, like seeing someone who was blind and now is not blind, like, I don't know, something crazy, yeah, I would follow Him for sure, you know? Then I would be sure that my path would be the one that falls on the good soil. But this is what Jesus says. He gives kind of a warning. He says this, as the crowd pressed in on Jesus, He said, "This evil generation keeps asking Me to show them a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of Jonah. What happened to him was a sign to the people of Nineveh that God had sent him. What happens to the Son of Man will be a sign to these people that He was sent by God. The Queen of Sheba will stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for she came from a distant land to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Now someone greater than Solomon is here, but you refuse to listen. The people of Nineveh will also stand up against this generation on Judgment Day and condemn it, for they repented of their sins at the preaching of Jonah. Now someone greater than Jonah is here, but you refuse to repent." See, all that the people of Nineveh had to go on. Remember, you know the story of Jonah. He's told to go to the Ninevites, preach the gospel, preach who God was. Jonah was like, no way, I'm leaving. He goes the exact opposite direction, literally geographically he goes west when he's supposed to go east. You know, of course, he gets on a boat, they toss him over, he's picked up by a great fish and brings him back. Preaches that God is coming to judge them. But when he goes to Nineveh, all he has is he doesn't show any kind of miracles. There's no kind of amazing things that he does. He just says, repent, turn back from your sin now because God's judgment is coming. And they respond. The people of Nineveh respond just to that. Likewise, the Queen of Sheba hears about this God who has amazing wisdom. She goes to King Solomon and listens to him talk and asks him questions, and it's just based on that alone that she's like, this God is real. This God is, there is something about this God, and whoever it is, whatever God you worship, that's going to be my God as well. I had this conversation with a friend once, he said to me, Jeff was my friend, he said, Brady, why doesn't God just show us, I would believe, if God would just show us some sort of, like, if He's so powerful, why doesn't He just show us some miracle? Then the whole world would believe. You know, it'd be not a problem. I would believe, he said, you know. But I said, Jeff, I don't think so. Because there's examples in the Bible where people do witness miracles, and there is no response by people. I told him the story of a man who is had a deformed hand, and Jesus goes to this man, and the Pharisees are bringing Jesus to task. You know, they're trying to test him, and Jesus, what he does is he goes ahead and this man. It's on Sabbath, on a Saturday or Friday night or whatever. You're supposed to rest. You're not supposed to do anything. And there's a man with a deformed hand. And he reaches out. He says, reach out your hand. And his deformed hand is healed. A miracle right in front of the Pharisees' eyes. And what is it, the way that the Pharisees respond? They're not like, whoa! Dude, I know this guy for the past 20 years. His hand has always been like this. Now he can use his hand. They're not like that. They don't respond like that. What did they say? They're like, you did a miracle on Sabbath. How dare you? How how dare you work on Sabbath? They weren't taken back at all by this miracle. So like they saw this miracle and yet their hearts were still hardened. Or there's earlier in Luke, when we looked at a passage earlier in Luke, he says, "What horrors await you, Chorazin and Bethsaida, for the miracles I did in you. For if the miracles I did in you had been done in wicked Tyre and Sidon, their people would have sat in repentance long ago." See, the problem is not lack of evidence or miracles being performed. It's the heart. It's the heart is where it starts, is our response. And it's both for believers and unbelievers. He's looking for a response from us, not that we can just kind of stay on the fence. But you may have been saying, you know, "Hey, Brady, I've responded. You know, I've responded positively. I'm like the good soil. Well, the seed fell on it and it produced fruit." Well, Jesus has a word for you as well. Says this, "No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where the light can be seen by all who enter the house. Your eye is a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is good, your whole body will be filled with light. But when it is bad, your body is filled with darkness. Make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. If you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant as though a floodlight were filling you with light." Jesus starts out by saying, "Hey, my teaching is like a light on a lamp, in a lamp. I mean, my teaching is out here for everyone to see. I make it really obvious for everybody. You don't need like a secret decoder ring to figure out what I'm saying here. Because I'm putting it out there for everyone, like a lamp that is put on a stand. And your eye, he says, is like a representative of how what a person's perception is, how they receive that. You know, like say, you know, we're young right now, so we don't have cataracts or anything like that, or like stuff where our eyes get like fuzzy or hazy. But as you get older, you know, like your eye, if it does have cataracts or something like that, it's not able to receive light. So your eye is representative of how you're able to receive the message that Jesus is talking about. And what determines the body's health is the content of a person's perception of how they receive that light. So what he's saying to us here is, hey, all of you who have received the gospel, the good news, take care of it. Will you remain receptive? Are you watching what you take into your body? Are you watching what you bring in to yourself? Whether it be like we had talked about, at least on Saturdays, we talked about things at OCCOIG about looking at media, what we take in, the philosophy that we take in, the world that we take in. Are you being careful with what is inside of you, what you are receiving? So Jesus is looking for a response from us. I've shared with you a little bit about my personal kind of journey of how I came to know the Lord. And I told you a while ago that there was two years where I was, where I'd heard the gospel, but hadn't received it. First, it took me a while to understand it, but for about 6 or 8 months, there was a time where I understood the gospel, and I was kind of playing neutral. I was playing like Switzerland, you know, like during the World War I, World War II, Switzerland's up on the mountains, so they could say, "Hey, whoever wins, we're on that side," right? And that's kind of how I was with God. I'm like, I'm on the fence. And my friend Matt, he came to me and said, Brady, you can't stay where you're at. Like, you're going to have to choose to either follow him or go your own direction. And for most people, that'd be kind of offensive, but I knew that my friend Matt cared for me and loved me. And even if I went away, even if I chose not to receive Christ, he'd still be my friend. But he's looking for our response. My worst fear for any one of you would be that you would maybe come to the end of your life, or that maybe your life would be cut short. You go, you meet with the Lord, and he's like, "Hey, I never knew you. Like, I never knew you. You were there, church, but there was never a real, genuine response." Be careful for those of you who have him. Be careful of what you are taking in. Be careful of nurturing the gospel that's been entrusted to you. Why don't we close in prayer, and then we'll respond in song.